Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Apocalypse, Say No to War. I am your host, Rev Deb, some of you call me Reverend Deborah Marshall. I am an interfaith minister. This is our ninth episode of our show, and I feel that I've picked an inconvenient time slot because I've only had two callers. However, many of you have checked out the show, have gone into the archives to listen each Sunday and Saturday. So I think that at least you're getting to see that or hear each episode as well as see the photos. You might want to check the photos that I have posted. I can only post two, and so you can take a look at those if you like on the show page. Plus, my blog, I have a lot of them on my blog at WordPress, and the address is www.revdeb1955.wordpress.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Also, both of my books, the first one being To Help Lost Souls Find Home, 2010 Ex Libris, and A Silent Invasion, The Truth About Aliens, Alien Abductions, and UFOs, 2014 Schiffer Publishing LTD. All of these are available on Amazon.com and most online booksellers. Now, I do want to say they are worth the price, and used copies are also available. The photos I include in the Alien book were mostly taken by me, and so I can attest to the fact that they are very genuine. And from a long distance, of course, some of them I found in photographs I had even taken for other reasons, but they are there nonetheless. Now, therefore, because they were taken at such a distance, it's difficult to enlarge them. And so they were published as very small photos in the full-color book. All the photos are in color. I do hope that you will go to my blog page and take a good look at the photos that I have on there, and I will be changing them out soon. And feel free to ask questions. My email is revdeb1955@gmail.com. All of that is lowercase, revdeb1955@gmail.com. Now, today we will be discussing, once again, I'm going to run over the effects of radiation on humans, animals, and the environment. Particularly humans. And first, I do want to reiterate the message that our Father and my spirit guides wanted me to give you in the very beginning. And I've said it over in different ways, but I want to run through it one more time. First of all, our Father was appointed by the cosmic consciousness, a group of people, where we come from, known as cosmic consciousness, and our universal creator, God, to bring us into the physical world. Now, this establishes Father's lineage or bloodline. We are all part of his lineage. There have been many other fathers appointed to establish new bloodlines or new lineages on different planets, and there have even been, I am told, some mothers as well. Now, if you leave your physical body on Purutia, which is heaven, what we call heaven, when you leave, you actually do leave here and go back into a physical body. But if you leave your body there, and yes, they die too. Anybody that has a physical body, your soul lives. Your soul continues to live, but your physical body wears out or gets sick. Now, it used to be that in heaven, or Purutia, where we come from, and it's an actual world, and Father is with us in the physical there. You used to go to the cosmic consciousness. That was like going back home. Now we go to the guardians, which is another group of people, but they are part of our bloodline, or part of our people, not Father's bloodline, but part of. It's a very long and difficult thing to talk about. But anyway, they are like our next level, our next step. To go to them. And so now, because the cosmic consciousness does not exist, they succumb to the Drexella virus, which I've talked about in past weekends. I'll mention that again in a minute. But the next higher group, if you don't want to go to the Guardians for some reason, the next group would be called the Lafrata. And I feel that as we are reborn, as we come from the non-physical into the physical again and leave our bodies to go to the next level or group, we are returning home gradually to our God or our universal creator. And I do believe that's what we are doing. But why do we no longer return to the group known as the cosmic consciousness? Well, I've already told you, because of the Druxella 7.0 virus. It's a genetically modified or created, engineered, however you want to put it, virus that has decimated over 1,000 worlds. We're not talking about just one country or whatever, 1,000 worlds so far. And they were destroyed by it. And a number of other groups we would have normally gone to have been destroyed as well. Our heaven, our home planet, is fighting to survive this virus, and at present we all will be returning to the Guardians and the Lafrata rather than to Perutia, which would have normally been the home we returned to, what we have called heaven. We have higher selves to return to with the Guardians and the Lafrata, so it is still a homecoming. Our Father wants us now to break through the veil of amnesia and erroneous teachings and to reach for and accept the truth. That Father, and He wants you to know this, is our spiritual teacher, our mentor, and our head of state. He was appointed to do this, and He's been with us for a very, very long time. But He is not God. And He is not all-seeing, and the things that we attribute to Him, it embarrasses Him, frankly, for us to sing praises to Him like He's the universal God, because He isn't. And He wants us to all understand this. He is there for us when we where He has always been. So don't think this means He is no longer with us. He is, and He is there for us, like I said, as He always has been. We may talk to Him, and we may pray to Him, and He will hear, as will your spirit guides that have been appointed by Father to guide and watch over your soul or your spirit. And they are in the physical world as well. They are appointed by Father. We all have them, even if you don't believe it yet. They are there. Now, the main thing that I want you to hold on to, even if you're not sure of all of this, hold on to this, that we are all loved. We will have a place to return to, and we will be back in a physical body upon our return. And those are the things that I want you to hang on to, even if you're not completely believing yet, because I understand it. It's a hard thing to understand. A lot of things have happened, but I was there and experiencing some of these changes for the last 20 years. So, you know, I realize if you just hear this for the first time, you don't really believe it. And I understand that. Now, another consideration is this. We must be extremely, now this is something kind of offhand here, but it's something I've been needing to tell you. This is another message, you might say, and this is something that has been difficult to approach, but I'm going to do it right now. We on this earth are very inquisitive, and we love to do archaeology digs. We love to go into caves and explore areas that are way down deep in the earth's crust, or even in the rock. You know, this world, we need to be extremely cautious when digging deeply into the earth and when exploring caves. And the reason for it is because this planet was inhabited with another group before us, and before Father put us here. And the war that destroyed life on Earth and Mars and the experimental colony on Jupiter, both planets used, both Earth and Mars used advanced nuclear weapons, energy weapons, and of course, biological, genetically modified or created germ warfare. Now, and chemical warfare too, I'm sure, but such weapons might be accidentally found, something that didn't explode, that got forced down deeply, and years later we somehow, you know, we start digging somewhere and unearth something. Be careful is what I'm saying. Because if you find it and you carelessly open something you find, you could end up with unleashing a plague. And so you have to be very careful. Now, this goes for any exploration of our moon or Mars, and I ask that all of you consider watching a documentary right now. It is on the Netflix, the streaming videos that you can tune into on your computer and watch. That's where it is right now, but you might find it on other providers as well. I don't know. Anyway, it is called Aliens on the Moon. And if you go to you should watch that first. And then if you go to Google Moon, which I didn't even know existed, and Google Mars, both of them use, both of those sites that Google has, uses declassified NASA footage from various satellites and things. And it's really quite amazing how clear it is. You will find evidence of past civilizations there, I promise you. You have to look carefully, but you'll find it. Earth back then had a military installation on the moon. That's something that, of course, the people that were doing the documentary didn't know. They were finding evidence of that, but they didn't know what it was. And there were tensions between moon and between Earth and Mars before the war. So, from what I understand, so they probably had that installation there ready to shoot at Mars. I don't know that though. Our father has stated though that the military installation was visible with a telescope from Earth at that time. As odd as that seems, when I went to Google Moon and Google Mars, I went right to the evidence. It didn't take long to see walls, half-buried walls that have crumbled, evidence of buried buildings, tunnels, pipes, you name it. It is quite amazing. Another message that I have been urged to repeat frequently is this. A group of people who were very infected by the Druxella 7-0, but who had a very advanced technology, moved our Earth out of its customary orbit. Now, this was a few years ago, and it has tilted a little bit on its axis, about 2 degrees, a little less than 2 degrees, towards North America. So, North American hemisphere. So this result is, the result is that our world is, even though we have global warming that's getting worse because we're heading towards the sun, but also back then when I was first told about it, they said they thought between 75 and 100 years, maybe a little bit more. Well, they have noticed now that we have picked up speed a little bit, and now they're saying perhaps 30 to 50 years before it becomes too hot to live here. Now, we may need to be considering building homes underground and at some point kind of turning things around and only coming out after dark because of the heat and radiation increases when the sun's out. Now, because of the axis shift, Canada and our northernmost states will be cooler than usual, more than likely, and our south will probably be a little more temperate than it would be normally. And gradually, I think that is happening. Other worlds have had this done to them as well, so this isn't the first time that we've seen this. Apparently, where our heaven is in that dimension, in the fifth dimension, that is has happened to a number of people, and they're trying to cope with it as well. The people who did this, you know, why they did it, who knows? The people who did this are gone now because of the Druxella, and why, we will probably never truly know why they did this to us. I really don't. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about radiation. I had to kind of rush through it last weekend, so I'm going over it again. Radiation health effects. Now, this is through the Environmental Protection Agency. Ionizing radiation has sufficient energy to cause chemical changes in cells and damage them. Cells may die or may become abnormal, either temporarily or permanently. By damaging the genetic material or the DNA, radiation causes cancer. A very large amount of radiation exposure, acute exposure, can cause sickness and death within a matter of hours to days, maybe even faster than hours. Before I continue this, I just want to give the guest call-in number. I don't think I remembered to do that. The guest call-in number is 646- 747-8082. Again, the guest call-in number is 646-787-8082. Now, acute radiation sickness requires a dose of perhaps 75 rads or 75,000 millirem. And I'm not really sure what that means, but it's M-I-L-L-I-R-E-M, the unit of measure. So 75,000 millirem or 75 rads. The average chest x-ray is about 4 millirem, so that gives you a perspective. Now, that's for acute radiation sickness to occur. Acute radiation syndrome would include nausea, vomiting, headache, and diarrhea. Your body basically is trying to get rid of the offending substance, so you have all of these things happen. These symptoms start within minutes to days after exposure, and some of it may come and go. Longer-term effects include loss of appetite, fatigue, fever, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, possible seizures, and even or eventual coma. Now, skin damage can occur after acute exposure. This includes swelling, itching, redness, like a bad sunburn, and can include blisters or ulcers or peeling. It may heal, then return again. It may take several weeks to a few years to heal. Hair loss may occur, usually temporarily, but it can, if it's bad enough, it can not grow back. Immediate treatment includes, number one, hydration. Number two, treating injuries and burns. Three, treatment to help bone marrow to resume its normal functioning, because one of the first things that happens with a really severe dose of radiation is that your bone marrow is suppressed. That is, it's not working normally, and it impacts your immune system greatly. Number four, the recovery process may take several weeks to 2 years even. In most cases, the cause of death is bone marrow suppression leading to infections and internal bleeding. And now, let me see. The emergency, I'm going to give you an address here. emergency.cdc.gov/preparedness/kit/disasters/. That will give you the CDC site and a list for preparedness. Some information about for the preppers out there who want to try to amass everything they're going to need. I think it's almost impossible to do that, but I think that we can all work to have something, you know, a plan in that, so that we don't sit there and wonder what to do. You know, at the time you're under pressure, you need to have some sort of preparedness in the works, so that you can start acting. Because when you're under stress, it's very hard to think, and you should think these things out first. And that includes any disaster. Now, the first thing on the list: food and water. And if you have canned food, make sure you bring a can opener. Electronics, flashlights, and NOAA, you know, the Weather National Weather Association, NOAA, weather radio, a radio portable one that will pick up those channels. Now, you should have extra batteries. Now, of course, if we have an EMP attack, an electromagnetic pulse attack, batteries will be absolutely no good. But if you have a cell phone, that may still come in handy. You should have a charger with it. And if you have something to charge it with, good. Now, first aid kit. You should try to have medicine. If you have prescription medicines, try to have at least 1 week's worth of prescription meds in case you need them. Well, you will need them if you're a prescription. And paperwork of any serious or ongoing condition. In other words, if you became acutely ill and you had to try to seek help in a triage situation in a hospital, emergency room, or whatever, then you would it would really be helpful to have all of your information there in a packet. And that's a good thing to have in your house anyway, because you just never know when you might need that. And it helps to have it already printed out and ready to go. Now, emergency blankets. Those are fairly lightweight, those silver ones, and they're actually pretty warm, too. So having that kind doesn't take up a lot of room, and you can have quite a few of those, and that's a good thing. Soap, toothbrushes, and other personal care items, you need to have all of that. Also, family and emergency contact information. It's a good thing to have a multi-purpose tool of some kind, if you can get one that's not so cheesy. A lot of them break as soon as you use them. But something like a Swiss Army knife type of deal. Copies of important documents, extra cash, maps, because you got to know where you're going, and an extra set of car and house keys in case. Also include baby supplies, especially if you have a small child, the food, diapers, all of that, games and activities for younger children. If you have young kids, coloring books, crayons, anything that is fairly lightweight and low-tech would be a good thing to have. Now, let's see, pet supplies. That's something we don't think of very often. When we think about a disaster situation, we need to look at our pets a little bit like family members. We should want to help them and do what we can to keep them with us. And to that end, you need to have some pet supplies ready to go. A leash and a harness, even for cats, it's a very good idea, a leash and a harness, so they don't get themselves into trouble, but you can let them outside to do their business. A carrier, a good carrier, pet toys, let's see, a pet bed, current photos, and a good description of your pet to go with the photos in case you do get separated. Information on feeding schedules and medical conditions, behavior problems, name and number of your vet. All of that is important. And a tip also, involve your children in this process. They can mark the date on the calendar when it's time to check the supplies, for instance, so that you can change out anything that's about to expire. You can use it and put some new in, you know, whatever it is. So that is, now let's see, the American Red Cross puts out a brochure, Pets and Disasters. It's a preparedness guide. And you can get this from the Red Cross. You can probably get the information off the computer as well. And they suggest various things in this brochure. Let's see here. Number one, have a safe place to take your pets. Red Cross disaster shelters cannot accept pets because of state's health and safety regulations and other considerations. Service animals who assist people with disabilities are the only animals allowed in Red Cross shelters. It may be difficult, if not impossible, to find a shelter for your animal in the midst of a disaster, so plan ahead. Do not wait until the disaster strikes to do your research. Contact hotels and motels outside your immediate area to check policies on accepting pets and restrictions on number, size, and species. Ask if no pet policies could be waived in an emergency. Keep a list of pet-friendly places, including phone numbers with other disaster information and supplies. If you have notice of an impending disaster, call ahead for reservations. That would be good if you think you may have to leave your home in the event of a hurricane, for instance. You usually have some notice before that happens. Ask friends, relatives, or others outside the affected area whether they could shelter your animals. If you have more than one pet, they may be comfortable if kept together, but be prepared to house them separately. Prepare a list of boarding facilities. In other words, really do your homework. I'm not going to just sit here and read this whole thing. We're getting down to the last 6 minutes. But it does give you a checklist of what to do. Second, assemble a portable pet disaster kit, just like we would ours, you know, have things for them. Know what to do as a disaster approaches. And you need to know that for yourself as well. I highly recommend the American Red Cross website. I haven't done a lot of reading with that, but I know that if you find the American Red Cross in your town, you can get brochures about a lot of different things that will help you. And there are many websites. I've given you some before, and tomorrow I'll give you another list of websites that are that I recommend that you read. Some of them have really good blogs, too, on there for all kinds of different disasters. Now, they also have a good-sized brochure for your family disaster supply kit. And they talk about, you know, review the checklist in this brochure, gather supplies that are listed. You may need them if your family is confined at home. And place the supplies you most likely need for an evacuation in an easy-to-carry container. These supplies are listed with an asterisk, it says, on the list. And there's quite an extensive list. You know, you look at these and think, well, how in the world could I run away with that? You know, but most disasters, you'll probably be able to use your car. Electromagnetic pulse situation, if we have that, that knocks out cars and ATMs, gas pumps, anything that is electronic will be ruined by that. From what I understand, everything has to be replaced. It'll ruin things. It isn't, unfortunately, it isn't temporary. I'm not quite sure how it can do that, but I understand that it even takes away batteries. You know, fresh batteries will be dead. Now, on this list, they talk about water, and you should try at least 1 gallon per person per day, and two quarts for drinking, and two quarts for food preparation and, of course, sanitation. Keep at least a 3-day supply of water for each person in your household. That's nice if you're staying home. Some of this would not be practical if you're on foot, obviously. You try to get foods ready to eat, canned meats, fruits and vegetables, canned juices, milk, soup. If powdered, you need extra water to cook with. Canned juices, milk, soup. Staples such as sugar, salt, pepper, high-energy foods like peanut butter and jelly, crackers, granola bars, trail mix. Vitamins, if you tend to take vitamins, you should have those extra on hand, too. Comfort foods such as cookies, hard candy, sweet cereal with lollipops, instant coffee, tea, or maybe hot chocolate, especially if you have children. And then the first aid kit. Get a good, well-stocked first aid kit. I mean, if you think about the kinds of injuries you might have, such as cuts, bruises, things of that nature, you know, most first aid kits will handle that. But if you're on your own and you are in a rural area somewhere in the woods and you don't have any way to get out of those woods to get help, then, you know, if you're actually bugged out to get away from violence and craziness in a city, for instance, then you have to depend on yourself. So get a good first aid book and a good first aid kit. The American Red Cross does give you you can take a first aid class and also a CPR class. I think they even have one that's for both taught in the same day. They used to. And tools and supplies. Think about that. This list gives you a nice list to have on hand. Clothes and bedding. You want, if you are carrying a lot of things with you, you might want space bags to flatten the air out of them so they're easier to carry. And inflatable pillows, maybe, so that they're easier to pack. So the list goes on and on. There are a lot of things depending on what your individual needs are. But food and water, and try not to get too many salty foods because obviously they will make you need more water. My feeling is if you're going to leave your home, then you need to be by a stream, a river, or a lake, and you have plenty of purification tablets, you know, so that you can get the water you need that way, because it would be very difficult to haul that kind of water with you, I think. I would love for somebody who knows more about this than I do to come on tomorrow, if you will, and we will discuss this. I would love to hear any websites or any suggestions that you might have. I know that there are many preppers that are getting ready right here in the United States, and I would love some of them to call us. We only have a few more seconds left. I'm sorry I didn't get everything done today that I wanted to, but we will pick this up where we left off tomorrow. I want to talk a little bit about the genetically modified diseases and one of the others that's rather disturbing. and it's hard to believe as well, but I think that we need to revisit it. I've only spoken about it one time, and I'm not trying to scare people. I just want people to be aware of what could happen, okay? Now, we only have a couple of seconds, so I just want to say thank all of you, for those of you who will come back into the archives and listen. Thank you so much, and I will see you tomorrow. I will be back on tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. May God bless.